Now we'll meet the five finalist candidates for the position of music director of the Spokane Symphony Orchestra. We'll encounter them in the same order that we will within the season: Morihiko Nakahara, James Lowe, Ray Hotoda, Arthur Anthony, and Jace Ogren. I ask them basically three questions. The first, what do they have to bring to the Spokane Symphony? The second, what are challenges of orchestras in general in the Spokane Symphony? And then finally, how might they meet those challenges? So let's begin with Morihiko Nakahara.
I'm very familiar with Spokane area, and in particular with the orchestra here. I've been working in Spokane since 2003 now, and you know, in many ways, this is my musical home because of the pure length of time, and the kind of concerts that we've done together, and you know, so I feel that I'm very much in tune with what this orchestra is, and at the same time, I have over 10 years of experience being a music director of an American orchestra in South Carolina. So, you know, combine those, you know, experiences, you know, I think I bring a unique quality to the table for this particular, position. And, you know, I think it's just the nature of the type of the conductor that I've been for all of my career, which is, you know, I've had to do a lot of, I've done a lot of different things, you know, from classical subscriptions, new music to you know, Baroque classical music, to pops concerts, to education concerts, and various formats. And I think, you know, it's everything that everything that I've done so far, you know, I feel is a build up to this moment. Yeah, I think what all of us in this business, especially in the United States, face now, is that we have so much competition now, because of the advancement in technology. There are so many entertainment options, and, you know, let's face it, we are one of them, but there are just so many more options. And so what we need to do is to create, you know, through our work, and I think I might be naive, but you know, I believe that when you are consistently putting out a product, the artistic product that is compelling, and with the right kind of message, with effective message, to say, hey, live music is something that is unique, and that is something that live symphonic music is something that's unique and something that you should experience, and that the orchestras and the arts are something that, you know, a community should take pride in and should feel passionate about, just as they do with sports. I think it all starts from the work we do on stage too. You know, if we do all of those things, but if the product doesn't match the message, that, you know, that doesn't quite work, or vice versa. So I think it's, you know, working together to create the right, you know, right angle, so to speak. And, you know, I think for Spokane, it's such a growing, you know, rapidly growing community right now. And, you know, I think there are a lot of people who are coming into the community now. So it's, you know, it's finding that, also finding the messaging that works for newcomers who might be moving in from bigger cities like LA or New York, Seattle, what have you. And also people who have been here, you know, people who have been part of this community, for a long time. So yeah, it's a unique challenge, I think, for us in Spokane in that regard. But yeah, I think for me, it all starts with a compelling artistic product, as in compelling performances of great symphonic repertoire. Because of the unique geographical qualities of the Inland Northwest, I think we have an obligation as the Spokane Symphony to present the best, repertoire, the best, best guest artists that we can present, So that, you know, unlike in bigger cities where people might have many different options for even for symphonic music, you know, that might not be as much the case here in Spokane, where, you know, people can't drive an hour away or 2 hours away to another big city because, you know, Spokane is, you know, it takes 4 hours from here to Seattle and so on. So I think in that regard, I think we need to take that to heart. And, you know, I think in terms of repertoire, this is one of the most versatile orchestras that I've worked with in terms of being able to handle all sorts of different repertoire and all sorts of different styles. You know, with style and with you know, with virtuosity. And so, you know, we have a great instrument, so to speak, here. And so it'll take some time, maybe to develop what works. You know, we need to figure out what's been working well here, and maybe some areas where we might be able to try different things, different possibilities, and see, you know, if how they will work. And that's true of, you know, any new person coming in. Even though I've been working here for so many years, you know, it's always good to kind of start with open mind and open ears, and see where we want to go together as a team, and not be afraid of taking risks and maybe some failures. You know, you never know. And but you know, I think through the first few years, I think, you know, that's how you create your direction.
Morihiko Nakahara, the current resident conductor of the Spokane Symphony and the music director of the South Carolina Philharmonic. Now to James Lowe, chief conductor of the Vaasa City Orchestra in Finland.
For me, my perspective on music making is that it's not just a kind of a two-dimensional activity. We're not, with orchestral music, it's not just a machine for making concerts, but that we have a responsibility to actually engage with our communities as well. And I have to say, for me, it's one of the great attractions with the orchestra in Spokane is how much work they actually do in the city and how well they are embedded in the community. I think that, for me, is very interesting. So hopefully that's what I bring, is the idea that music is really for everyone, and we need to take it to as far flung places in all the corners we can. Well, I think the challenges in Spokane are probably the same as the challenges everywhere. I mean, every town is a little bit different, but the challenges are generally the same, I think. We're living in a world where the choice of entertainment that people have nowadays are simply mind-boggling. I mean, you can stay at home and have access to pretty much every film ever made online, or you could go out to the cinema, you've got late night shopping, you can do really anything. And so I think an art form that requires a kind of a concentration and that requires an engagement, an active engagement, is always going to struggle. So I think it's our job as musicians to find ways of reaching people. I always find that once you actually get people in the room, they're always incredibly impressed and bowled over by a symphony orchestra in full flight. The problem we have nowadays, I think, is just convincing people to get in the room with us and to listen to what we actually have to offer. I think the idea of a subscription series of concerts is a very good one. It's a tried and tested one. But I think orchestras shouldn't necessarily simply stick with that one model, you know, the kind of 7 to 8 o'clock at night concert of a specified length. I think we should be flexible about how we package our concerts. I think, for example, in Zurich in Switzerland, they've been doing these concerts, these night shift concerts, for many years now, which are hugely popular with particularly young people. And the idea there is that it's in a kind of a non-traditional venue, so a kind of warehouse venue, and you play a concert with just one piece, and beforehand the musicians talk to the audience about it. Maybe a musician from the orchestra will stand up and say why they love this piece. And the conductor will talk a little bit, talk about the music. You'll play this one piece, and then afterwards everybody stays for a drink. With the Zurich thing, there's even a nightclub afterwards. So I think there are loads of different things that we can do, as well as, of course, the education projects that are really, I think, integral now to every orchestra. When music education is on the decline worldwide, I would say, in most countries, the orchestras have to kind of step up to the plate and engage themselves with passing on the baton to a younger generation. So I think, yeah, like I say, there are many, many different things we can do. And it's a question of making sure, I think, that there's a varied diet with different hooks for different audience members.
And speaking of that varied diet, what would you say about programming?
Well, I think programming is rather like planning a really good meal. You know, you've got to have a good menu. And I love programs that somehow all the pieces are kind of in dialogue with each other. So there might be some kind of influence that the program explores, or there might be the pieces kind of look from different angles at the same problems, you know, from different eras maybe. And I think, I mean, like every good salad, you know, salad dressing, you've got to have a kind of the right amount of oil and vinegar. So I think it's also important that you have unknown or particularly underplayed pieces and some modern pieces in there that add a kind of context and bring something really alive and into the present.
And that kind of leads nicely into the idea that when you come in February, you'll have this concert that you were given of Zhao Tian, two pieces by Liszt, and the Brahms Fourth Symphony.
Yeah.
So how's that concert going to work relative to your description?
Well, I mean, I think it is an interesting thing. I've not seen the score yet for the Zhao Tian piece. I'm not sure it's even been finished yet. But I have listened to a lot of his music online, so I'm aware of the style. I mean, I think the Hungarian Rhapsody we're playing is obviously one of the most famous pieces of classical music. It's, you know, everybody knows it, even Tom and Jerry performed it. And it's a lot of fun. So I think it's really good that there's a fun element in the program, because obviously Brahms 4 is a pretty heavyweight and serious work. You know, it's quite a compact symphony, but he really crams a huge amount of expression into the kind of 45 or so minutes that it lasts. So I think, yeah, it's good. It's nice that we have, it's a balanced diet, I would say.
James Lowe, chief conductor of the Vaasa Symphony Orchestra in Finland. Now to Rei Hotoda, the music director of the Fresno Philharmonic.
Well, first of all, I am so delighted to be a finalist for the music director position, and I would be so honored and privileged to work with these amazing musicians of the Spokane Symphony, first of all. And I'm really looking forward to getting to know the community and also the beauty of the surrounding areas of Spokane. Now, if I had a motto, it would be music first, great food second, and nature third. And I think that Spokane offers all three, and I think it would be a wonderful fit. Well, I think, you know, the orchestras and the arts are always being challenged, and they're always, you know, brought up as you know, something on the side. But I think that we as human beings, the arts are essential to who we are. And not even if you're not a musician or not an artist, but I think that everyone can appreciate the arts. And I think that the arts are so important nowadays to really be celebrated. And I think the Spokane Symphony is doing a fantastic job being relevant in their community and having programs that, you know, have outreach programs and education programs that they do. I think it's so important and so fantastic. Well, the first thing I would do is to get to know the community the best I can. And what does that mean? Not just the musical community, not just the artistic community, but, you know, other organizations. Maybe we can do some collaborations. And I've done that with my orchestra in Fresno with the Fresno Philharmonic is to really embrace the community, see what they have to offer, see what kind of collaborations and presentations we can do together with the orchestra, with the symphony. And we've come up with some wonderful, wonderful ideas. But the first thing I think for me personally is to really dig deep and be embedded in the community. Well, I think that this program is fantastic, and I'm so thrilled to be working on, first of all, Shostakovich 8th Symphony, a very, very powerful work, one that will challenge the orchestra, but also challenge the listeners. It's a very dark journey for Shostakovich to write this piece in the first place, but it's also a journey that I'd love to take the audience on. And this is just one of the most powerful Shostakovich symphonies ever. I think one of the most powerful symphonies ever written. And I'm really looking forward to working with the musicians in bringing together our own interpretation of this together. But also with the Korngold, the first half being with the Korngold beautiful, beautiful violin concerto, one that I'm so thrilled to present. And then starting off with the Aaron J. Kernis Musica Celestis. So I think the first half is more of the optimism and beauty of life. The Musica Celestis is this really the heavenly singing angels. And then we go into more of the earthly desires, you know, with the Korngold and the beauty of that. And then going into the dark humanity of the Shostakovich Ace. So it's quite a journey for the audience, but one that I'm very, very excited about. I'm always very much wanting to promote contemporary music. And what better way? You know, these pieces are from the 21st and 20th century. So this is so fantastic. I'm actually thrilled with this program.
That was Ray Hotoda, the music director of the Fresno Philharmonic. And we move on to Arthur Arnold, Dutch-born conductor who is music director of the Moscow Symphony Orchestra.
I think one of my real strengths, other than that I know a lot about music and about conducting, about orchestras, is that it seems that I'm really capable of connecting the orchestra to the audience. Everywhere where I come, I hear it over and over, like the audience feels participating in the performance. They don't feel like they watch an aquarium with things happening in there behind glass, a glass wall. But I don't know what it is. Maybe sometimes I talk to them, or the way I look to them, or the way I make the orchestra aware of what is so very important about music making. You know, it is, we make music for other people. We have to serve through our music, and we have to fulfill a very important role as musicians to connect to that audience and make sure that our audience leaves the hall different than they arrive, and hopefully different in the sense that we have been able to touch them, that they feel inspired, or they were able to, you know, get some relief, or there's many, many options there, of course. But, you know, that's what it's all about for us as musicians. And we seem to forget it often because we dig in so deep in our scores and our techniques and our instruments. And we have to do that to perform our best. But we never, never can forget why we do this. And so I'm very aware of that. That's my big, how do you call that in English? My big mantra, I would say. And I think that's what I'm for sure going to bring to Spokane, along with my love and passion for music and for working with other people and working with the community. I've heard all my life, and I'm now 51, I've heard all my life the worry that there's lesser and lesser audience going to symphonies, and that the audience gets older and older. And I started to go to concerts when I was 14, 15 year old and intensify that. And I haven't really seen the age change. Now in Moscow, of course, a lot of people go to concerts, still a youth as well. But in here in Europe and what I've seen in North America, I still see that people go to concerts. So, and then I want to add something to that. I spoke to a lady of a lady at the management of a Canadian orchestra, and she went out in the audience and actually asked, why do you come here tonight and what's on the repertoire? Most people didn't even know what was going to be performed. They wanted to have that experience, that night out. So I want to have a really fresh look into the fear that we are losing our audience, yet, be aware that this might be the case and that we have to keep it vivid. But I come back to my mantra. It's all about being able to touch people deep inside and to connect to people. And when we do that as musicians, when we are able to really touch someone, you want to belong, you want to come back, you want to be there. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't do pops. It's very important. It's another kind of audience that wants other things. But it's important to be aware of it and to, work with a team as an orchestra, as the orchestra is, and to learn from the experience the Spokane Symphony Orchestra has, because what I've been seeing and reading, they've been doing a great job in being on the ball as far as publicity goes, as far as reaching out goes into the community. So I'm hoping to add to that and to help develop it. But first and foremost, beautiful music, passionate music, connecting to audience and connecting to our new audience, the youth, the children in the schools. Bring them music, talk to them about it, play for them. I'll bring my cello and sing with them and teach and inspire.
Arthur Arnold, music director of the Moscow Symphony Orchestra. And finally, of our conductor finalist candidates, we hear from Jace Ogren, the artistic director of Orchestra 2001 in Philadelphia.
I think that any music director should, first of all, bring a deep and passionate love for music. And I know that there's nothing else that I could do with my life other than to make music. It's the thing that drives me and keeps me refreshed and gives me a reason to, wake up every morning. And it tells me who I am as a person, I think, and helps me understand our world right now, but also the sort of the long arc of our history. So it's something that just feels integrated into my life, and I can't imagine doing anything else. I think that in terms of my work as a conductor, this love for music manifests itself, in a joy for music making that I hope comes through to the musicians and to the audiences. I really try to create an environment in the rehearsals that's based on trust and an understanding that we're all there to make the best music possible. A phrase that I come back to a lot is music that's deeply entertaining. I want to put on concerts for our audiences that are entertaining in the best sense, where everyone has a wonderful evening out or afternoon out listening to the orchestra, but that also they're changed in some way. I feel like I deal in life-changing experiences. And so I strive to work with orchestras and with audiences in a way that fosters this trust, this love for music, positivity, and that is rooted in changing lives through music. The challenges that orchestras face, it's a known problem, and it's something that that people who work with orchestras and audience members have been talking about for decades. And to me, the problem hasn't changed as much as it's stayed the same. And to me, I mean, it starts with just putting on concerts that are an event. Every concert to me needs to be an event and needs to have this scintillating kind of energy, needs to have a relevance to today's society and culture, and not only in the programming, but in the way we present it. I think that one weaknesses of orchestras in past decades has been just the way that we put on a show. I think that it's not something we've done terribly well. But anytime I think that we can add a visual element that's connected very deeply to the music, with lighting, with video design, with the way we kind of curate the experience, I think that this helps listeners to understand the music, and especially younger audiences who are very visually oriented these days. And I think that the way that I tend to focus my sort of first line of attack in engaging new audiences is through education. And I love working with young musicians. And if I were to be music director of the Spokane Symphony, I would really look forward to going out and working with all of the school orchestras and bands and even choirs with young musicians of all stripes in the region. Not just the top youth orchestra programs, but middle school band programs. Anyone who I think could benefit from maybe what I have to say and could benefit from making a connection to the Spokane Symphony, and hopefully generating some excitement about what we're doing at the symphony and bringing them into the hall and then hopefully bringing their parents into the hall as well. Through music education, I love to foster a new generation of professional musicians, but even more than that, I think just a new generation of listeners and people who appreciate classical music. I love to really tackle that firsthand as much as I can, and to try to bring in those new audience members myself. So it's to me, just trying to directly connect with young people, and then when they do come into the hall and see what we have to offer, they get great music, but they also get a whole experience musically, visually, theatrically that they can relate to.
That was Jace Ogren, the current music director of the 2001 Orchestra in Philadelphia. Over the last half hour, we very briefly met the five finalists for the position of music director of the Spokane Symphony. Morihiko Nakahara will be in town with his official concert on October 6th and 7th. Then it will be several in a row between February and April. James Lowe on February 16th and 17th, Ray Hotoda March 9th and 10th, Arthur Arnold March 23rd and 24th, and finally Jace Ogren April 13th and 14th.